No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where we drink coffee so dark, it rivals Satan's butthole. Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Niles, your host. Welcome to episode 53, given on this day, June 19th, 2024. I'm glad to be here to talk to you all about shit, talking to you about my first world problems, things going on in the world, and my skewed perspective of it all, to include reading your emails. Or let's reverse that, sharing all this with you and reading your emails and talking about your points of view. Why? Because you make this show great. Good afternoon. Damn, I'm behind the power curve. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you all are doing well, staying focused and positive, but most importantly, staying caffeinated. And speaking of caffeine, once again, I have nothing for you. Drinking coffee, to be sure. And today, what are we drinking? We are drinking Green Mountain Coffee Company's blueberry something or other. Hence the reason why we don't have a review today. Hence the reason why we haven't had reviews in a while. I am really, really coming in strong. Give me one second here. Kind of adjusting the mic. I'm always having to do this shit. Last week there wasn't, I apologize. I meant to record this show last week, but the weekend got away from me, and Sunday, which is normally the day I'll record a show, I was knee deep, not literally, but knee deep in, getting some yard work done, around the house. I had my mulch beds, the flower beds up in front of the house, redone. I do those twice a year to make sure that the mulch stays fresh and the bushes trimmed and everything, simply because, you know, it's all about keeping the HOA off my ass, keeping them happy. And if they're happy, I'm happy and nobody bothers me. But I've kind of come to the conclusion, speaking of the HOA, I've kind of come to the conclusion that they don't necessarily bother with me because they're too lazy. I don't mean this in a derogatory way. I could see this from a point. So I'm choosing my words just to fucking say what's on my mind. I feel as though they are too lazy to get out of their vehicle, walk up my long ass driveway to do any sort of inspection of the home. And if I'm home, they are probably less inclined to drive up into my driveway because I will run them off. If you are not delivering a package, if you're not Amazon, if you're not the United States Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, DHL, or any other type of delivery service coming to my house to drop off cargo, freight, boxes, what have you, I didn't invite you. Therefore, you need to get out of my driveway. So maybe they know that. Maybe instinctively they know that. Maybe somebody told them I'm a crazy neighbor. I don't know. I could only assume. But I do what I can to keep the HOA off my back. And honestly, I don't give a shit about the HOA too much. They're not assholes in comparison to some HOAs that I've spoke about on previous podcasts before, especially when I was living in San Antonio. I felt they were gunning for us because we were renting the house, and being that we were renters, you know, the rules of the HOA are really enforced on me versus somebody who is a homeowner, somebody who's paying a mortgage. You know, they don't necessarily fuss with people who are paying mortgages too much as they do people who rent, because renters are flea-ridden dirtbags, and oh, because I'm military, I'm probably even worse. I hate to put that military spin on it, but sometimes I feel as though, based on some past experiences I've had with property managers, that they look at military from a different light. We get treated like a minority. I hate to say it that way, but that's kind of how it feels. Like, oh, you're military. And if you're not an officer, well, you're a peon. And I've had a few choice words with individuals like that, where I just assume not rent from you and find somebody else, then have to deal with your bullshit. And then they turn around and feel like, oh, well, you're used to being yelled at. Oh, you're used to people barking orders at you. So that's how I'm going to be with you, because that's what I see on TV. And they go with what they think works, which is the polar opposite. You know, I put my pants on just like you do in the morning. You forget that, yeah, I had a mom, I had a dad, you know, and I was born into this world just like you were. I just don't understand the mindset of some people. And maybe it's ignorance on not just their part, but my part as well, to just maybe engage them and have a conversation and go, you know, hey, what the fuck? What is your impression of me as a military service member? I mean, do you automatically have this one-sided view, you know, of the military in general, and this is what's causing you to project this persona because, oh, well, I'm protecting the homeowner. Granted, got it. But don't make, you know, don't generalize or make assumptions up front on what you think I might or might not do to the home. Like, I would totally destroy it. I'm going to have a lot of parties. I don't know what's going on through their mind because I never asked. But I could tell you that the way, in some cases, not all, the way that I had been treated leaves a lot to be desired. And I'm like, yeah, thank me for my service, but then turn around and totally be a dick, asshole, bitch, whatever to me during my time that I'm renting. And essentially, you're not making my experience as a renter of a property, I've said it once, I'll say it twice, I'll say it a fucking billion times. You know, my parents taught me better. My dad taught me better. You return something in equal to or better condition than what you received it. And that's what I've always tried to do. I've always tried to do that. And if it meant spending a few extra dollars getting the lawn fertilized and, you know, do a soil test to make sure I got the proper pH organic mix, making sure the house is clean on the inside and outside all the time. I mean, it was kind of a burden for the most part, because I always felt as though anybody could come visit at any point in time and inspect the house. And therefore I always need to be ready. I did not want to give any property manager the opportunity to come in and want to fuck me over. I would not give them that latitude. And so it kind of put some pressure on me, you know, and at the same point, you could kind of look at it from the fact of, all right, well, in basic training, you had to pay attention to detail. You always had to make your bunk, 45 degree angle hospital folds. You know, everything had to be tight. You could bounce a quarter off your bunk. Everything had to be clean, dress right, dress, dust free, white glove type stuff. And yeah, for the most part, that's kind of what basic training and advanced individual training was. And being that my mom was really anal retentive about keeping the house clean, that just compounded my problem, my OCD problem. So it didn't matter whether I was renting or if I owned the house, I was going to be the same way either way. But how do you articulate that to a property manager? And even if you could, would they believe you? Unless they physically see it for themselves as evidence, you know, you're going to get treated like shit. And it's happened on a couple of occasions. I had one property manager that showed me this house that was like in complete, utter disarray. And it was, the wood on the trim and the garage door was rotting. And then you go on the inside of the house and it looked like somebody went inside who had no carpentry experience whatsoever and tried to add rooms, add walls, add false ceilings that just look like shit. You could tell. I mean, how do I put it? It looked like somebody, like some kindergartner did it, or basically those people who try to get into house flipping and have no fucking idea what they're doing. That's about what it looked like. And I turned around and I looked directly at this guy and I said, and I asked him, I said, "What do you see when you see me?" And he just kind of raised an eyebrow and looked at me funny. And I said, "You know, there's been places other than here that I've gone that I've had a PCS to. And it seems as though you all have some sort of, I don't know, mindset about military, and you're just going to throw whatever at us and expect us to live here. Like, these are the conditions that you would give a soldier. Really? Seriously? Somebody who's sworn to protect and defend the country against all our enemies, foreign and domestic. And oh, by the way, the state of things after 9/11, where everybody thanks you for your service, but you want to fuck me in the ass on this house." And it totally fucking pissed me off. And then after that, it's like, oh, now I'm going to go show you the nice houses. I don't know whether it's a gauge. Like, oh yeah, I'll go ahead and take this. Like, I'm gonna take the first. I kid you not, this house was so dilapidated. On the outside, there was, I mean, the garage looked like if I tried to open it, it was gonna fall apart. It was gonna fart dust. It had snowed like a couple of days prior, or they got some precipitation a couple of days prior. The roof was leaking through the awning, and the wood under the awning was like completely rotting away. Like falling, like splintering, falling in pieces. The windowsills were completely cracked. The paint was cracked and the wood clearly was sprouting black mold. Like, this is the house you're going to rent me? Are you fucking serious? I was so pissed, you know, and the guy apologized. I will say the guy apologized, and then he started showing me other houses. But I'm like, dude, don't ever fucking lead off like this with me or any fucking soldier ever again. You know, I mean, this is bullshit. You know, here's the other piece to this. That was my second time going to Kansas. My first time was at Leavenworth. And the individual who was the property manager who was showing me houses was a retired major. And so I didn't get treated one way or the other. He treated me like a customer, and he treated me with dignity and respect. And he showed me, you know, houses at all levels. But he didn't start off with the most shittiest house, right? Because at first he was like, "Hey, what are you looking at renting? How long do you think you're going to be here?" You know, didn't have any kids, so I didn't have to worry about school zones or anything like that. But I mean, he got me into a pretty decent house, you know, for a rental. You know, because not all rentals, you see some rentals and you're just like, oh my God, you know, I can't believe they're renting this out. And the landlord must be really fucking cheap not to do anything. Hence, the second time I got sent to Kansas, and the first house that I was shown was a complete piece of shit. Only after the fact did they start renovating it. And I don't even know how far they went. But even then, the interior of the home, there's nothing you could do on the outside to beautify it that would make up for the interior of the home. It was definitely decade impaired. Like, it was built in the 1950s. There was no way my furniture was going to even fit through the front door. That was the first thing I noticed. But anyway, how is this relevant to the present? I try to keep the HOA off my back by making sure everything looks bright and beautiful, you know, in the front and the sides, anything that's visible from the neighborhood. I do what I can. And I had some additional stuff that I had to do on Sunday. I have this tree line, this natural fence of some green giants, these pine tree looking bushes. They get relatively tall. They'll get about 20 feet tall or so. And they're starting to fill out. So what that means for me is the grass in between the trees where I could push the mower through and go around the trees, that those gaps are starting to close up. And at some point, I'm not going to be able to push the mower through those bushes, you know, and I don't want to wind up destroying or breaking any branches in the process, and then trying to get some sort of weed eater, a wheat eater, excuse me, coffee, damn it. This blueberry coffee, it's a Keurig pod, so nothing to really write home about. It's okay. It's rather flat, but right now it's coffee, and it's the only thing that's sustaining me because I really didn't sleep well last night. I'll get to that here in a minute. But anyway, so what I wound up doing was from the back to the front, I created a mulch island up under the trees, not really going far out from the branches, probably about maybe a couple of inches from the perimeter of where the largest branches were, and put in a mulch island so that when the trees get big, I don't have to worry about the grass up under it. The mulch should pretty much take care of that. So was pretty busy the entire day, and it was fucking hot. It's really been weird out here in the DMV area. The weather the past couple of weeks has been dry. There's been a couple of blooms of thunderstorms just, you know, out of nowhere for a few seconds, and then it goes away. But nothing really steady. And I'm starting to notice that the heat, it hasn't really been humid. It's been hot. It's been fairly dry. And the lawns in the neighborhood are starting to show it. It looks like the entire neighborhood's turning into a wasteland. So I'm watering more than once a day. I used to only have to water once a day. Now I'm having to do it twice a day, just to try to maintain, you know, a damp soil level so I don't lose my lawn. And it just seems like even if I let it go for a couple of days, I'm going to be in trouble. And that was the state of things this weekend, because normally I don't water on the weekends. And while the mulch is being done, I'm walking on dry grass and crunching this grass up under my feet and compacting it down, essentially helping kill it even more. So it was driving me insane, and my OCD was going completely nuts, because trying to make sure that the island's straight, trying to make sure everything looks right, and getting these clean edges done so if it rains, the mulch doesn't wash out onto the lawn and kill the lawn. There's just a number of things. Anyway, that's what I was doing, and that's why I didn't record a show. The long story short of it. But yeah, so that's what I was doing. But now that we've got this midweek holiday, June 19th, Juneteenth, and fucking Texas, leave it to them to be the last ones to freaking end slavery. Isn't that what Juneteenth is all about? Now we're celebrating Texas for being dumbasses and waiting to be the last ones. Like, seriously, I really need to educate myself on Juneteenth. You know, I really need to educate myself on Juneteenth, because I don't know enough about it. All I know, it's a federal holiday. I got off work an hour early yesterday. The director gave everybody, if you don't know this, I don't know how it works in industry, but seeing that, you probably hear the washer and dryer in the background. I got laundry to do. It is what it is. So, but I'm hearing it in my headphones. Hopefully you're not hearing it, but I'm hearing it bigger than shit in my headphones. Anyway, so Department of Defense recognizes a number of holidays, right, to include Juneteenth. And being that was on a Wednesday, yesterday the director shot out an email to everybody saying that I'm going to award everybody 59 minutes. And so that gives us an hour to, you know, to leave early. And I usually leave at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That I work a 10 hour day, and I leave at 4 o'clock, and it guaranteed an hour and a half trip to get home just because of the traffic. DMV traffic fucking sucks in the afternoon. But yesterday I was under the delusion that, I'm the only one getting to leave early, an hour early, so traffic won't be as bad. Well, technically, because I didn't take lunch, I left an hour and a half early. Let me tell you, I left that hour and a half early, and it still took me an hour and a half to get home because everybody else and their grandmother did the same fucking thing. I can't win for trying. I'm telling you. It's totally fucking nuts. So, yeah, there's that. So I decided to use today. I took the morning to just kind of recuperate from yesterday, because Monday night, I go to bed early to get ready for work because I have to be up at 2:30 in the morning. And I went to sleep, and then I was wide awake. I didn't get any rest whatsoever, or at least it felt like I didn't. According to my sleep number score, I got about 5 hours of sleep. I'm like, when? Because it sure as shit didn't feel like I did. And I got up, went to work, got to work. And in the morning, again, 48-minute drive, easy peasy. There is traffic, believe it or not, at 3:30 in the morning. And there are people that get on the road and they drive like a bat out of hell, like they're late. Like, what are you late for at 3 fucking o'clock in the morning? At 3 o'clock in the morning, what are you possibly late for that you got to frickin'? I mean, I swear, they're going 95 plus miles an hour, you know, down 95, 495 corridor. And you're just going, what the fuck? Like, realistically, why? And then I started to think about it. Maybe it's not because they're late. Maybe because they've got cars with powerful engines and they just want to open up every once in a while. And that's fine. That's great. But the erratic driving and changing lanes as though you're in some sort of Formula One, Indy or NASCAR race. I mean, come on. That's a little much. Just fucking drive. If you got to drive fast, get in the fast lane. If somebody's slow in the fast lane and you need to get them out of the way and they don't move when you flash your lights at them, then yeah, go ahead. Downshift. Adjust. Do what you got to do. But don't drive like a fucking dickhead. Seriously? I mean, I've got a 6.4 liter Hemi engine in my Jeep. Granted, again, yes, I've said my Jeep is shaped like a brick. I don't have the aerodynamics. But I could bust some balls, and I've got paddle shifters, so I could have the option to manually shift and drive my Jeep for all intents and purposes like a manual stick, and it's great. And I know I could go fast. And I'm going to end this part of the conversation with this: with great power comes great responsibility, and I don't feel the need to flex. I really, really don't. The only time that I've put the pedal to the metal is if I've got to get out of the way or I've got to get around somebody and I've got to do it quick. And my Jeep affords me the ability to do so. I know I could go fast. I know that my Jeep has got some cojones, okay? I know that, but I don't need to announce it to the world. They could probably see it on my hood because it's got the 392 logo, and anybody who knows Jeeps and 392s knows that I have a Hemi engine, because nowhere on the Jeep, unlike Ram trucks, does it say Hemi. It doesn't say 6.4 liter Hemi engine. It doesn't have that logo on the side, although I probably could go to the Ram dealer and get that logo and stick it on my Jeep, but I think that would be pointless. It'd be a waste of money. So I'm satisfied with the fact that I could run my Jeep like any other normal, like any other Jeep, as if it were normal. I just know that every once in a while, I could grab my balls, squeeze them, push the pedal to the metal, and haul ass and give somebody a run for their money. Even if I know I'm going to lose in the end, I'm going to make them work for it. That's all there is to it. But anyway, so yeah, I just didn't get any sleep. I was so dog tired at work. It took multiple cups of coffee. And when I got off, I got home, hour and a half drive. Even though I got home earlier in the afternoon, I was just dog tired. And I went to bed, I think I went to bed 6-7 o'clock last night. And I fell asleep, and then I woke up at what I thought was like 2:30 in the morning and went to the bathroom, walked back to the bed, looked at my clock. It was 12:23 and I was wide awake. And I was at least awake for at least another 2 hours before I finally fell back asleep. So I don't know why I'm going through this slump. I don't know what the deal is. You know, my sleep number bed is supposed to be magic and helping me sleep and keeping me cool at night, because I'm normally hot. I'm abnormally hot at night. And I mean, I had the AC turned down. I think I dropped the temperature down to like 67 degrees, on occasion 66. Normally, the past few weeks since I've had the bed, haven't had to turn on the ceiling fan, turned on the fucking ceiling fan. And I'm just like, what the hell's going on? Why am I not cooling down? And then my brain has just been in overdrive too. So yeah, I'm a little tired today, but I'm getting through this. I'm doing what I can. So speaking more coffee. Speaking of work, I wanted to get your point of view on something. And I know I talk about stuff that happens at work, I don't, for the sake of protecting the innocent, I'm not going to drop names, and I'm not going to get so much detail that I feel as though I'm doing this person an injustice by talking about them behind their back, because the problems that I face with certain people that, and I'm not their supervisors, but there's documentation that they have to put together that requires my signature. There's documentation that they have to put together professionally that goes to a customer and goes to an outside entity, to industry. And I've always been of the belief that when you're sending an email, before you send it, you do a spell check. Before you send it, you read what you wrote to ensure that you're getting your point across, that you're covering all your bases. Even though that the receiving party may not read the email entirely and they will come back and ask you stupid questions, regardless, I've always made it a point that when I send something to somebody, I make it as clear and concise as possible. And I still miss shit, to be sure. I still miss things. And when I see what I missed, because I'll go back and read it after I've sent it, and I'll see a misspelling or I'll see an extra space in a sentence, and it drives me up the fucking wall. So I know how hard I am on myself. We are all our own toughest critics, right? But where I get upset, And I wound up sending somebody, because I really got upset yesterday. I wound up sending somebody a thought that I found on Facecrack yesterday. And I'm trying to, you think I know how to navigate my phone right now, but I don't. Somebody posted, "My toxic trait is I assume people have common sense and I get mad when they don't." And I don't know if I would say that's a toxic trait, but I wasn't mad at the word or the use of toxic contextually with what they were saying, because I completely related to what was said in that statement. "My toxic trait is I assume people have common sense and I get mad when they don't." And I have this person who doesn't work for me because I'm not in a supervisory position. Again, however, there are things that... What the hell is going on here? I didn't click anything. My computer did it automatically. Give me 1 second. Yeah, my Apple... I don't call it iTunes anymore. I should call it Apple Music. It's not iTunes. It's Apple Music. Anyway, so I have certain tasks that are assigned to me as the signature authority, right? And as a signature authority, there are memorandums and documents that are drafted by the other individual. And this individual here drafted a document that had to go to both the customer and industry for approval. And he wound up copying and pasting a lot of the information into the draft document to include some numbered sentences that had checkboxes next to them. When he copied and pasted them, I looked at the original document. On the original document, these numbered items were jumbled up, like somebody had just grabbed them, crumbled them up, shook them up, and tossed them on the table. And now you've got to try to match the numbers and the boxes together, right? That's the best way I could describe it. But it was copy pasted from the original document. And I looked at that. He had sent off the email to industry, to the customer, and said, "Please see attached both the recommended changes to this document and the draft document. Let me know if everything is what you're looking for." And, I opened up the draft and he left the jumbled information on the last page of the document. And I'm sitting here thinking, this guy didn't take 5-10 minutes to sort that part of this document out to make it look professional. The rest of the document, for all, it looked fine. But that one part was just fucked up 6 ways from Sunday. And I could not fathom for the life of me why, in his mind, he thought that was the right thing to do. Like, let me just copy paste it. I'll call it what it is and I'll send it to you for review. You're going to send that document to a customer And what is it going to say about our organization when you send it to a customer and you leave it fucked up like that? You didn't bother to fix it. Like what? It's not your job to make sure the document's right? And I would have been really livid if my signature block had to be on that document. But regardless, take the time to frickin' make sure it looks right. Didn't even fucking do that. So I grabbed the document from the email that he had sent. I went ahead and I fixed it because I wasn't going to wait on him to do it. And then I sent it back to him and said, hey, I fixed this for you. Please see attached. I got called off to do something else. I came back. I didn't see a follow-up email to the vendor and to industry saying something to at all to them going, oh, hey, we had a format issue. Sorry about this. Here's the revised document for your review. Didn't do anything. 5-10 minutes passed by. Didn't do a damn thing. And I'm sitting here going, what the fuck? So I didn't even approach him. I went ahead. I sent the email to the customer and to industry. I CC'd him on the email and I let them know, hey, apologies. We had formatting errors with the document. We have it straight. The last page is now clean. Please review this document. Please ignore the previous one. Do you know that motherfucker came up and asked me if I could add an additional item to what I had to fix? And I'm sitting here going, you didn't read it, did you? I was seconds away from just wanting to just light his ass up. It takes a lot to piss me off in most cases, especially in a work environment where I'm at. You have to do a lot to get my goat, seriously. And he managed to do it. You know, it's taken me the latter part of the past 18, 20 years of my career to change who I am as an individual. And this motherfucker was fucking it up in like less than 15 seconds by asking me, can I go ahead and add it? If I missed something, why didn't you fucking do it? I'm not your boss. However, I am the signature authority on here and you're asking me to do your work, what you should have done in the first place. So I jumped up from my desk. I walked over to his cubicle and I sat there. I said, did you not? And I pointed right at his screen. What do you see right there? Did you not read the document? And then he just kind of looked at me and I said, it was down here when it should have been up here in the first place. You're welcome. And I already sent it off because I couldn't wait for you. And I don't think he understood what the fuck I was saying. I don't think he heard the tone of my voice, but everybody else around him heard it. And I'm sitting here going, this guy's got a fucking PhD. You mean to tell me you got a PhD? I don't know what you got your PhD. Well, I do know what he got his PhD in. I'm not going to announce it here, but I'm sitting here going, you wrote a dissertation. You had to submit the draft. And I'm sure your advisors red inked and told you what to say, how to say it, when to say it, made recommended changes, things of that nature. Why in the fuck would you send a fucked up document? And then, oh, by the way, you wouldn't take the fucking time to fix it yourself. Are you flipping serious? And I'm starting to think that this job isn't for him. I'm really starting to think that. Then on the other half, some people have kind of said, because I'm really getting close to the mic. My apologies. Some people have said, you know, well, do you think he's doing this on purpose because he knows you'll fix it? And that could be. But at the same time, I'm still holding the cards, right? Because I've still got to have him do the work. Yet at the same time, I see what they're saying. What the heck is going here? I don't know what's going on. I'm hoping that I don't know what's going on with this recording. I've got pop-up windows coming up telling me I can't do this and can't do that. And I'm not even touching the computer. I don't get it. Like, is it magically doing this on its own? What the hell? Anyway. It drives me up the wall. You have a PhD, but I don't know what you're doing with it. Evidently it doesn't mean shit. To me, you're just chasing a title because it's in business. His PhD is in business. So, and I mean, if you're in business and you know all these things, you freaking wrote a dissertation And I think it was something on the level of making things better in, you know, in a work environment. And I'm like, well, charity starts at home. You need to focus on making your own shit better because your quality of work sucks. Your work ethic sucks. If you're willing to send a fucked up document to industry and not correct it, I mean, what do you think their view of us is going to be? Like, what, these people don't know how to use Microsoft Word? They don't know how to format? They don't know how to properly align paragraphs? Like, what the hell? You know, it drives me up the wall. And I've spoken to people about this because I can't speak to him. I don't feel I could speak to him because I feel it goes in one ear and out the other. I haven't quite dialed in on him just yet. But when I do, I think it'll be great. I think it'll be good. I think there will be a moment. But until I figure out how to break through that membrane, whatever that firewall is that puts him in a position to not listen to understand, but listen to respond and make fucking excuses, I'm hoping at some point I can get to that. But in the meantime, I'm going to bitch with a capital B and I'm going to share my, you know, I'm going to share my perspective on it. And I think it fucking sucks. Because if it were me, if the roles were reversed, I'm sure he'd be just as upset. I'm sure he would send it back to me for correction. Or at least I would hope so. Because if not, then that means his caliber of work is not where it needs to be. He does not hold high standards. And maybe he went and got his PhD through a paper mill organization. I don't know. I would hate to think that. But there's these details that are being missed that, while in most cases are probably minor, and I sat down and I talked to myself about this and asked myself, am I getting wrapped around the axle for nothing? Personally, I don't think so. I don't feel as though that I'm getting bent out of shape for nothing. Getting bent out of shape to a certain degree, maybe, yeah, I could tone it down and calm down. But when it becomes repetitive, where you just see mistakes happening left and right because you're not focusing on quality in your work, you're focusing on quantity, you're focusing, I just want to get this out and for the sake of getting it done so that I could put another notch on my roster and say, this is how many things I've completed so that I could get a high rating, so I could get a pay raise, so that maybe in hopes I could get a government job because I do great work. You don't do great work by doing quantity. I mean, unless you have that freaking magical brain and that persona where you could be multifunctional and you could do stuff and not miss a beat, which very few people can do, I'm sorry, he's not it. But I wanted to get your point on, get a point of view on this, where have you had people that you worked with or worked for you that hand you stuff or send stuff out without doing a quality assurance, quality control check on what they do, without doing? And I know spell check is not your friend. Our favorite librarian has told us this. Leslie in her emails tells us this. You know, all errors are courtesy of autocorrect, but you can't rely on Microsoft Word to say everything is hunky-dory. Because contextually, and I keep saying contextually a lot, but it makes sense. Contextually, in your sentence structure, you're going to have words in there that are not the right words, but are spelled correctly. And a lot of the times, Microsoft Word, the editor, it's not spell check now, I think it's called Microsoft Editor, doesn't necessarily catch what you're doing. And all the language rules, if you don't have them checked, don't apply to your document. So you cannot rely on spell check or Microsoft Editor to catch all the deficiencies in your paragraphs. You have to read through it in its entirety. You have to go back and go sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, and double check your shit. And even then, you as an individual aren't going to catch everything, because I don't catch all my stuff. Not all the time, do I? I think I would have to say, and this is probably being gracious to myself, I probably have a 98% rating in catching my stuff. But it's that 2% that can make you look like a village idiot to some people, especially industry, when you don't have something constructed correctly in a sentence. Right? Your sentence structure is fucked up. Your grammar is fucked up. Your paragraph spacing, your alignment, all that shit's fucked up. And so I don't get embarrassed by it. I'll own my fuck ups. I'll own my screw ups, and I'll just remember to try to do it, not make the same mistake twice, measure twice, cut once, move forward, and just be done with it. But I just want to know, is there anybody that you have worked with out there that has just is suffering from anal cranial inversion? Head up their butt. Seriously, when it comes to stuff like this. And I'm going to be clear. I'm going to put this out there, because what I don't want somebody coming back with and going, oh, you're on your high horse. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I will be the first to admit, I don't think that I'm better than anybody. I know what I know. I know what I feel based on what I was taught. I understand what right looks like. And it could be, and that's a difference of opinion. What looks right to me may not be entirely accurate. And I can accept that if I'm corrected. There's always somebody better than you out there. And I get it. And if somebody came up and said, you know, hey, Landon, here's the deal. This part right here, you need to work on. Hey, I'll take constructive criticism all fucking day long if it makes me better, because I'm willing to learn. Where years ago I didn't. I guess I got wiser in my old age and began to understand what people been trying to tell me for all those years when I was younger and knew everything and nobody else did. Where nobody else did, right? So, excuse me, coffee, damn it. So enough about bitching about work. And look, let me be clear again. He's not a bad guy. He really, really isn't a bad guy. I commend anybody who takes the time to go out and better themselves educationally by going out and getting a doctorate, because I know what that takes. And I mean, I've had soldiers go for it. I know officers have gone for it. And I listen to them describe their process and what they're going through and the level of anxiety and stress. In some cases, depending on what their dissertation is on, I feel it. I completely see it from their point of view. I may not physically know what that stress is like for them, but I can see it in their mannerisms. And it's, wow, that's more power to them. But having an education does not make the intelligent person, does not make the individual with common sense. And it that's the part that bothers me the most, because maybe I'm generalizing him as an individual by saying, you've got a PhD, you should know better, right? I'm holding you in high regard because you have a PhD. You put the PhD in your signature block. People reference you as doctor in their sentences, in their salutations, right? Yet you put out this bullshit. You put out crap. You do not put out quality to 100%. To me, and I hate to say it this way, but to me, you're doing good enough for government work. But for me, it's not enough. And that's where it bothers me. You know, that's where my toxic trait of comes in, where I get mad because I'm giving credit where maybe credit isn't due. I don't know. But like I said, I've got to figure out what's up with him. Holy shit. Did I not turn on all this time? I didn't turn on the background music. Here, there we go. Thank you, Maestro. Jesus. I'm all discombobulated today. This is all my fault. Anyway. Oh yeah. Damn it. You know, I really went off on a tangent there, but speaking of the episode, this week's episode, not recording on Sunday, I have to apologize. I'm not sure what was going on. I still don't have all the facts or know what happened, but episode 52, I had that intro from the TV series Loudermilk, and I was afraid that because I led off with that recording, that for some reason my podcast got flagged in the Apple podcast system and that it was pending review. But then I saw where Amazon Music published the podcast. I saw where Audible published the podcast and other entities out there published the podcast, but could not get it on Apple Podcasts. It was not loading. And so I was doing everything to try to figure out what the heck was going on. I was re-refreshing the feed over and over again throughout the day and nothing. And then I went online, somebody said something about unfollow, if you follow your own podcast, unfollow it, clean it off your system, clean it off your phone, get rid of any downloads, reboot your phone, shut it off, turn it back on, and then go back and resubscribe to the podcast. And I did that, and I went to the playlist, and episode 52 was there. And it showed that it was uploaded hours prior. So it was there in the system, but it wasn't coming through on the feed. And matter of fact, I think it took like 24 to 48 hours before it was published. And I kind of had this fear that because I had a snippet from a show that is copyrighted, even though I did give credit, that's what was holding me up. And I was in fear that the show would not get published on Apple Podcasts. And I even went online to look at, you know, their terms of service, and specifically regarding to use of copyrighted content. And it really doesn't give you anything regarding like your left and right limits. Like what I've come to believe, and I've never found this in black and white, but like if you play music, like if I played a small snippet of music on the podcast that was from, you know, a well-known band, like, I don't know, Pink Floyd or whatever, I couldn't play it for more than 30 seconds. Any more than 30 seconds would be a clear violation of copyright law. And so the audio that I played was more than 30 seconds, even though it was from a TV show, it was more than 30 seconds. It was like a minute and 2 seconds or something to that effect, that I overstepped my bounds. But I couldn't find anything that gave me what my left and right limits were regarding usage of copyrighted material. And I was like really panicking, because I was like, this would be my first, you know, slap on the hand, kick in the ass of not having a podcast published on Apple Podcasts because, oh, you're in violation of. But it wound up finally coming through. So there might have been a glitch in the feed, and it just wasn't catching, and the systems were cycling through, and it finally came through. But I told people, hey, if it's not coming out on Apple Podcasts, you can go to the website. If you've got an Audible account, you could listen on Audible. If you've got Amazon Music, you could find it there. I think it's on Spotify, quite a few other places. So you won't miss out. So if you want to go listen to it, there's other modes, if you will, or other means by which to do it. So, yeah. So sorry for that kerfuffle there with last week's episode, or week before last episode, as it were. But yeah, it kind of had me like nervous, because that was the first time I've actually used something that long. But wasn't it awesome? Isn't Loudermilk great? And he's got some other, most of those excerpts, like the one I had in episode 52, are usually in the very beginning of the show, like, you know, the intro of the show. And some of them are just downright fucked up and funny. And then he's got some like in between during the course of the episode that comes about. And God, he is one angry individual. Again, I highly suggest go on, where did I say it was on? It's on Netflix. So you can find him on Netflix. So go check him out. 3 seasons. Great. Pretty decent storyline, like I said before. Anyway, I digress. Let me check my music again. Now I'm like, I don't understand it. So I have a 30-minute loop for the background music, and normally it goes into replay mode automatically. And I know I've been talking for almost an hour, and I guess I missed the first 30-minute iteration, not paying attention to the time clock, and it stopped. Normally, it just re-loops. What are you going to do? Shit happens. It is what it is. Anyway, another thing. What else do I want to talk about? I am... coffee, damn it. You know what? As this coffee gets colder, it tastes better. Warm, not so much. But as it's cooling off, it actually, the flavor is a lot better than when it's warm. That's pretty strange for being a Keurig. Oh, and Keurigs, man, I will tell you this. I don't know if you experienced this or not. So here's a little coffee talk for you, specifically, you know, means or mediums by which you make coffee, a.k.a. Keurig, a.k.a. or all, yeah, also known as whatever. I'm lost in the sauce. I'm so tired today, people. That what I've noticed is if you don't have a pod that is Keurig coated, or let's say Keurig approved, you have a higher potential of that pod exploding and making your Keurig a complete mess. Coffee grounds going everywhere, liquid going everywhere other than into your coffee mug or into your coffee mug and then some. And then, of course, coffee grounds going into your coffee, making it taste like shit. It's just bad all around. So I've really had to refrain with this specific model. I've had to refrain from using any third-party K-cups because they're not Keurig certified or Keurig stamped. So Keurig, for those of you who don't know, there's a little barcode on the foil top, and there is a reader evidently that recognizes that barcode and tells my Keurig exactly the who makes it, what flavor it is, right? And it has automatic like presets for all these flavors or all these types of coffee, the Keurig approved ones. And it supposedly brew the perfect cup based on what I'm assuming is internal settings within the Keurig, right? And it brews the coffee pod without popping it open, making it bust, right? But a third party is just not used to the force. That is the force. I'm trying to explain this. I'm so tired. There is a 5-prong disc within the K-cup housing. Those prongs puncture the K-cup, and the middle prong is what pushes the water in. The other prongs make it easier for the water to disperse and catch all the grounds and give you a better brewed cup. Okay, let me put it that way. Those certified K-cups, if you will, allow for everything to happen nicely. The amount of pressure that comes in, it's all tailored. At least in my mind, that's what it seems like. Because when I put in a third-party K-cup, that K-cup is not geared, if you will, to receive the amount of pressure. And oh, by the way, because it's a generic K-cup and it's not in the memory banks of the Keurig, if you will, that it doesn't know how much pressure or how much volume of water to put in all at one time. So it just hammers it. And in turn, it pops the foil off the top of the cup and then chaos ensues. And I've had it happen on multiple occasions. So I refrain from using any third-party K-cups, no matter how much I like the coffee company. It's just the juice, in the literal sense, the juice isn't worth the squeeze because I hate having to clean up that damn Keurig. And it is if you ever had a pod explode on a Keurig before and it puts all those coffee grounds and just puts everything everywhere, It's a little bit labor intensive. It's tedious to clean, to try to get all that crap out of there. And not just the chamber where you put the pod, but you have to take out that chamber and you have to clean out the other chambers. Because if you don't, you will have dried coffee, you know, just drips in there that dry up, and they'll start growing spores, molds, and fungus. And then you're brewing coffee on top of that, and that's what's going into your coffee. And then you're wondering why your coffee tastes like shit. So you have to maintain and clean more than just the central chamber where the pod goes. You have to clean more than that. You have to clean the entire chamber out. You got to make sure you get up in there and clean all that dried up coffee from whatever drips didn't get captured or whatever steam goes out through these grooves and gets caught in the outer chamber. It's nasty. It is really nasty. And ask me how I know this. I know this because when I went to work, they have a community Keurig there that's one of the older models. And when I popped that sucker open, all I saw on the outer chamber was a bed of coffee grounds from pods that have obviously exploded. I went ahead and took out the inner chamber or the outer chamber that holds the K-cup. And I looked down into the inner chamber and saw, did I say outer chamber? Took out the chamber that holds a K-cup. Let's call that the outer chamber. The inner chamber where everything can settle and dry looked like it hadn't been cleaned in months. I'm talking months. And then when I went to drink my coffee, first sip, it tasted so bitter and like shit. I was like, oh, hell no. Now, I didn't take the responsibility of taking that thing out of there, taking it home and cleaning it. I wasn't going to do it. I just decided I put my own Keurig at my desk and I use my own because I'm not touching that shit. I'm not trying to get sick from somebody else's inability to keep something clean. You know, it's like the community refrigerator that somebody gets pissed off enough to finally clean after a number of months, you know, and there's foods in there that are freaking sprouting other foods, you know, or microorganisms that get people sick. It's crazy, man. Totally crazy. But yeah, why did I go off on a tangent? I don't remember now. I don't remember. Anyway. Oh, wow. I've yammered and yacked and yada, yada, yada about nothing of really relative importance whatsoever. But so that being said, well, I'm going to check the music one more time. I have this button and the background music I can hear now at the push of a button. It's a little ear icon on a little green button. And it's really nice because I could hit it again and it will mute the music in my background, in the background, so I don't feel like I'm talking over the music. But I can every once in a while check, and I'm definitely going to do it now because I want to make sure the music loops. Normally, I don't have to worry about it, but evidently, now I do today for whatever reason. The computer's acting weird, and that's not normal. So I'm hoping this recording really happens. Anyway, got an email, and it is from my big cousin in Hungary, Norbert. And the subject says, happy birthday, and a letter on episodes 49, 50, 51, and 52. So yes, last Thursday, was it last Thursday? Yes, last Thursday was my birthday. Am I in silver status now? Age 55? Isn't that like old dude status? Something to that effect. But yeah, so yeah, last week was my birthday. I took it off from work. It was nice. I swore up and down that after I retired, I would never work on my birthday again. I would always make sure that if things were possible, meaning I had leave time built up, hours built up, that I would take my birthday off, and I succeeded. So I had a long weekend last weekend. This weekend, I will also have a long weekend because in conjunction with Juneteenth, I have a cardiologist appointment tomorrow, and with what may take place at my cardiologist appointment, I just went ahead and took all of Thursday off. So I have today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I have a 5-day weekend. And then it's to the grind. Then it's to the grind. Yeah. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Anyway, so my cousin writes, dear big cousin, first of all, let me wish you the happiest of birthdays. May God bless you and bring you an endless supply of the best coffee and the cutest of pitbull, have I got that right? Wiggles for as long as you wish. Now, let me reflect upon some of the stuff you have brought up in recent episodes. This might take a minute. I might have to do this podcast in two parts. So episode 49, talking about delivery companies. We had our fair share of damaged parcels and deferred deliveries at the music instrument accessory warehouse where I've been working at part-time since July of 2022. The most extreme case being a 31-day delay of a parcel lifted on 21st November, arriving at its destination on 22nd November 2022. Yeah, we all know the pre-Christmas period is always a frenzy, but excuse me, 100 miles in 31 days? Even with intermediate storage in every town on the way, this is just ridiculous. Of course, we have not worked with that parcel service since then. However, willfully, they wanted to compensate us in goods. Apart from that, after we got back to the previous service provider, with which we had been cooperating nice and easy ever since, the first driver that had used to pick up our parcels had used to whine each time for whatever reason he found that day until he finally quit. Since then, everything has been running smoothly. I have every driver's cell phone number at hand just in case. You know, to have that relationship with your delivery people has got to be the greatest fucking thing. I have a UPS driver. I don't know her, but she is somebody who takes that extra step. And there was one day I was driving to work and I was leaving out of the subdivision and she was passing by and she intentionally slowed down and looked at me, pointed and then waved and then drove off, you know, honked her horn and drove off. And I'm like, wow, you know, I really don't know her. I don't even know her name. And I haven't met her because the times that she comes to deliver, she's no nonsense. She comes to the house, she drops off the parcel, she rings the doorbell, she's back in the truck and gone. And she honks when she leaves. Like, holy shit. You know, I mean, really no bullshit, no time to talk. So I'm hoping at one point in time, I'm able to be out there as she's delivering just to say thank you because she makes sure that your packages are carefully placed where they need to be. Seems like she uses common sense. She goes the extra mile. She doesn't toss your shit there like it's, you know, a piece of trash. She handles your parcels carefully. And in opposite to this guy, Norbert, I mean, she doesn't bitch. And maybe that's part of the problem. You get hired on to work at a company and then you complain about it. If you don't like it, go fucking somewhere else. You know, maybe it's not your jam. You know, maybe where I'm working and bitching about my employees isn't my jam either. And maybe I need to find something. And honestly, I'm looking. Don't know what's out there for me yet. I haven't decided what direction I'm going to go or if I'm going to go and when I'm going to go. I got to plan that out. Always got to make sure you got your bases covered. Anyway, Norbert goes on to say, episode 50, cancer sucks. Indeed. 10 years ago in August, I lost a childhood friend to breast cancer. She was only 36 then. Leaving two little sons and a husband behind, a tall, beautiful, and absolutely gorgeous lady with the sweetest personality and a devoted, caring friend with fond eyes that were always a little sad. I hope I didn't press some. I pressed on my computer. Sorry. I've been missing her ever since. So sorry that some distance grew between us in her latter years. Thus, I got the bad news from her sister then. There were the five of us on the street where our holiday homes were near the river Danube, three boys and two girls roaming around together since the late 1970s, early 80s. Days I will never forget. Too bad that the doctors refused to perform mastectomy on her when she asked them to, saying the protocol would have required chemo before, which she refused. She was gone in a couple of months. And yeah, I still feel bad. It's been, you know, a good couple of weeks since Michelle's passing. I still can't believe that she's gone. There's a lot of music I listen to. Norbert, you'll appreciate this. You know, there's a lot of music that we grew up with from the 70s and the 80s. And that even includes some of the music from the 60s, right? Because that bleeds over in the 70s. 70 bleeds over in the 80s. 80s bleeds over into the 90s. I mean, just a lot of great music out there. And there was a lot of music that we all grew up with, especially in the 80s, that we gravitated and identified with. And, you know, I'm decade impaired. I still listen to a lot of 80s music. I've got the 80 preset station on Sirius XM satellite. I listen to it, you know, all the time. And I cycle through a lot of songs. And even on my phone, on my iPod, I've got on my computer, I've got a lot of 80s music. And I'm nostalgic for that shit. A lot of it has a lot of sentimental value. A lot of the songs I didn't understand back then because I had a weird one-track mind. But listening to the music back then, really not quite understanding the lyrics in its entirety. And then you grow older and you really listen to what's being said. And you're like, holy shit, I completely misinterpreted what that song was about. Like, what the fuck? But it still holds that it still holds those memories. It still holds that value to me of that beautiful soul that is no longer roaming this earth. And I was talking to, I think I also mentioned another friend of mine who's going through some stuff right now. He's looking to get a bone marrow transplant. He's got two types of blood cancer. He's going through chemo right now. It takes a lot out of him. And I know it's got to be a struggle for him. It's got to be a lot on their shoulders with him, his wife, and his kid. And I mean, God, I wouldn't wish that shit on anybody. And it's like we were talking about the connectivity where we haven't talked to each other in like 30 years. And that when your circle starts to get smaller, you begin to realize that relationships, friendships are really fucking important. And these people that we grew up with, and we were talking about our small group that we were stationed with together, you know, myself, Q-Tip, Tommy, my friend Mark, Wagner, we had called Wagner Wren and Camacho Stimpy, Wagner and Camacho and a few others of our heinous group. You know, we all had our issues, you know, we all had our ways about us, but each one of us, you know, we were involved in developing one another. And he's got a point, you know, so it's important that you reach out. And I still feel like shit to this day. I mean, there's songs that come up on my phone or I'm driving to work and I hear something on the radio and I just can't not stop thinking about her. She just really meant that much to me, but I'm kicking myself in the ass because I didn't communicate as often as I should have. I should have been a better friend, and it's too late now for me to do that. I mean, she's gone. And I mean, I never even got to say anything to her, you know, knowing that there was a possibility that she wasn't going to make it through the second time. But in my mind, she made it through the first time. She'll make it through the second time. Because I always looked at her as a very strong person, and there was nothing that could take her down. And I completely thought wrong. But yeah, indeed, cancer sucks. Anyway, he goes on to talk about episode 51. Getting old and smelling worse. There's definitely a connection. This happens to me too. As getting closer to 50, I will be in October. I started sweating more and smellier, at least according to my girlfriend. She has attributed this to me driving regularly since I bought my first car right on my 48th birthday. She says it has to do with stress, so that I have to be very careful what and how many clothes I wear when I drive, and use the most neutral smelling deodorant and aftershave possible, as she cannot stand it when there are too intense fragrances on me. That is why I don't use perfume either. The first she bought me induced rushes on me. The other I got from a lady friend she found too intense, no matter how I liked it, and there were no rushes. I have the same problem. Maybe it's a Hungarian thing, but I have to watch how much I put on, because as soon as I put it on, I blow up like a party favor in smell. And colognes really are strong on me for a good period of time, and then they dissipate. And it's that level of intensity where, I guess, depending on the person, some people like it intense and can deal with it, and others not so much. So I'm like, what do I do? Even if I just put on, like, say, one spritz somewhere, right? And it still might be too intense for somebody. And my thing is, I'm not trying to cover up my smell. I mean, I freaking take a shower from head to toe. I scrub everywhere. I spend more time, you know, washing the areas that I know that are going to smell more than I could even begin to describe. That's bullshit. I can freaking describe it till the end of the fucking earth. I freaking make sure I scrub my ass, my balls, my taint, my freaking pubis, my armpits. I don't care. Anywhere, my ears, anywhere I know where there's going to be odor, I make sure I scrub the shit out of it to make sure it's clean. There's no bacteria there. There's no way in hell the smell is going to come back within a matter of minutes. Because I will tell you, if you don't wash your armpits, if you don't wash your armpits long enough, that smell's not going anywhere. You're going to miss a spot and you're going to smell it. It's going to be like, you know, if you use Irish Spring, pine needles and shit. Or not literally shit, but you get my point. You're going to smell the hamburger smell with the Irish Spring. It doesn't work. No matter how strong the deodorant soap is. But the type of soap that you use in conjunction with the cologne, it could have a level of intensity. One can complement it by elevating the magnitude of the smell. So like, for example, there's one cologne that I used to wear. I don't wear it as often. It's Paco Rabanne. And to me, it smells like soap, like a clean smell of soap. Couple that with Irish Spring and that will increase the intensity like tenfold. But there is another one that I use and it's from Sweden. I forgot the name of it. It is an intense mixture and doesn't matter what soap I use. It's just fucking intense. And the thing is though, it dissipates off me after about an hour, but it's that initial hit that seems to last for a pretty long time. So yeah, I get it. You kind of have to go out there and mess around with them. I've had colognes I put on. They're way too sweet and they make me sick. Yeah, so I'm very careful about what I put on and how much I put on. But sometimes just the OCD of me not wanting to smell or offend, there have been times I've put on more than what I needed to. And then I start to think about, I had a friend, female type, one each. I kid you not, I swear, she came home one day after an hour and a half of physical training. She was in the Army. After an hour and a half of physical training, she came home and she took off her sweaty PT uniform and put on her work uniform and doused herself in perfume, retightened her hair and walked out the door. And I'm like, oh, no fucking way. There's a time and a place for everything. You know, when you're deployed, you get dirty, nasty, sweaty, smelly, and you don't have to worry about offending anybody. You know, you don't have to worry about taking a shower because that's just it. You're just like, I'm done. I'm tired. I'll sleep dirty. I've done that. But to come home when you have the opportunity to take a shower and get clean and you don't, and you just go from sweaty and smelly to sweatier and smellier and think perfume is going to be your saving grace. One word, gross. That's all I can say. He goes on to talk about episode 51 and 52. Okay, I have 1 minute before this loop takes place. So I'm going to take a break here for a second and take a sip of coffee. Coffee, damn it. Because I want to see if this loop is going to switch over. Because I could have sworn I had this set up. So, yeah. But yeah, I haven't broken down and decided whether or not I'm going to buy Mando and test it out to see if that helps. I don't know why I haven't. I've been reading up on it and I'm like, I don't know. And then here's my thing. What is it going to smell like? How is it going to smell coming off of me? Is it going to work? Right? And that's my whole thing. Is it going to work or is it going to be a combination of, like I said earlier, pine needles and crap? You can take a dump in the bathroom and spray Pine Sol and it just mixes with it. It does nothing to get rid of the odor. It just mixes with it. Yes, it looped. Now, why didn't it do that before? Anyway, so yeah, let's get back to his email. So episode 51 and 52. I don't think I am metrosexual. I would have to be much more conscious about the way I look if I wanted to call myself so. Keeping my head bald isn't a regular routine. as it would seem either. I buzz my head every now and then. Sometimes I let it grow to about half an inch and then buzz it down to zero. But I haven't shaved my head with the razor for the past couple of years. The bald look you mentioned is just a product of good lighting and smart photography, but thanks for the compliment anyway. On the other hand, I try to keep my facial hair organized. My buzzer and a small pair of scissors and a comb that came with the buzzer does good service in that aspect. A thing I don't like on anyone, including myself, is armpit hair. I use my facial razor to deal with this problem. In the nether regions, I'm all natural, but if my girlfriend asked me to, I would definitely shave or go to the waxing salon. There have been instances before we met, but she likes me in my natural state. So, yeah, I don't know if I could do the armpits. I've done it once, and the issue I have is when it starts growing back. It's the itchiness. I've shaved my scrotum and my pubic hair once, just, I think it was even on a dare. And because there at that point in time when I did this, there wasn't male grooming products available to deal with chafing and cuts and nicks and all that other stuff that goes along with it. So I did it with a clipper at first to get the hair down to like next to nothing, and then shaving cream and a razor. And shaving cream is not meant for the nether region of the male genitalia. I will tell you that right now. But because I tried using soap once and the soap just isn't thick enough for me to shave without any issues. So I put on shaving cream. I figured, fuck, if it works for my face, it should work for my frickin', you know, balls and shaft. And I thought wrong. And then one time, I'm really throwing myself out there. And then one time I decided to use Nair. Now, let me be clear. Nair for men. They actually make Nair for men. Now, the intent was not to get the Nair on my ball sack or anywhere near my shaft. No, that wasn't the intent. What I wanted to do was see how well it got rid of Osama bin Laden's beard. Yeah, because I was, you know, it grows natural pretty quick and it was pretty long. I dare to say that I think one pubic hair measured almost 4 inches. I'm like, how the fuck does this happen? You lose your hair on your head or your hair thins on your head, but your pubic hair can grow it up to 4 to 5 fucking inches, which makes me wonder, when they do hair transplants, do they take it from your ass or do they take pubic hair and retransplant it? I mean, it grows thick, it grows strong, and most of the guys look like they got Brillo pads on their heads. I don't know. Anyway, but I used Nair. That was a big mistake. I left it on just a few seconds too long and it basically burned the shit out of my crotch. So, it was a sad few weeks before I recovered. Let's just say that. So I don't know that I could, I really don't know that I could do the armpits. And I guess maybe if shaving every day you become, or every other day or however often you do it, you could become accustomed to it. I don't necessarily like armpit hair either. I deal with it on myself, but yeah, if I don't know if I could deal with armpit hair on a woman, I don't know if that would, I would necessarily find that as being, something that's unattractive overall. Cause it can be natural. I mean, you know, before shaving the armpits were a thing, I'm sure women did have armpit hair, just like men have armpit hair. But yeah, for me, I think because as much as I sweat, the armpit hair helps. I don't know that if I went and didn't have armpit hair or shaved my armpit hair or did whatever with my armpit hair, that when I sweat, it would just feel like it would be like sitting on somebody's sofa covered in plastic in 100-degree weather and the air conditioning doesn't work. It'd just be that thick of a layer of sweat and humidity between the armpits that is just outright disgusting for me. But I don't know. I think I'll leave my hair on. Yeah. I was like, I've done it before and it did feel weird, but I didn't sweat as much back then. And of course, I lived in West Texas. It was dry heat. I didn't sweat like I do now. Maybe that's my problem. I need to move to a drier climate. Anyway, so going into episode 52, coffee, coffee, and more coffee. I have been drinking the same brand of coffee at home with my lady as well. At my bachelor home, I am writing this email to you. Bravo's being a full Robusta roasted in the town of, I can't pronounce this, Norbert. It's S-Z-E-N-T-E-N-D-R-A. You have in parentheses St. Andrew, 15 miles north of Budapest by the River Danube. A simple but full flavor brand, a six portion Italian style coffee maker, coffee maker's load equals to 2 cups of coffee for me. However, yesterday at the warehouse, my salesman colleague surprised me with ristretto from the nearby cafe called The Porch, Veranda in Hungarian. And man, that was intense. The first sip equaled a full cup at home. This being said, let me say bye for now. I'm looking forward to the next episode and hope you can find all the joy in today that you would like to. Your big cousin, Norbert. Budapest, 13 June 2024. Norbert G. Isles, private entrepreneur. Thank you for your email, Norbert. That was, man, Norbert and I talk every once in a while, very briefly. We send stuff to each other here and there. I always watch his posts. And keep to see what's going on, because he always posts some beautiful pictures. He's always doing something, musician, and he's just so involved. So it's really interesting for me to follow him on Facebook and watch things that he's got going on and the pictures that he posts. And this is the longest email that I received from him. And so I really, hand on heart, thank you for taking the time to, number one, wish me happy birthday, and number 1.2, or 1.1, this email is awesome. And I think what I need to start doing is I need to learn how to speak the language, because I, even though I'm half Hungarian and my dad was full-blooded, so that's where it came from, my biological father, full-blooded Hungarian, I never was taught the language, never learned the language. And it probably had to do primarily with my parents getting a divorce when I was a year old. They separated and divorced when I was a year old. So the Hungarian tradition and the learning of the language just wasn't brought into the fold. I think primarily because my mom couldn't stand the man and she didn't want that around the house. And truth be told, I mean, everybody on my dad's side of the family, brothers, uncles, aunts, everything included, thought that my dad should not ever marry an American woman anyway, that he should have married Hungarian. But who knows? I mean, if that was the case, maybe I wouldn't have been born, or maybe I would have been born Hungarian. I don't know. But I guess better late than never. But yeah, I really am interested in learning. And here's the thing. Rosetta Stone, oddly, when I last looked, which was a while ago, Rosetta Stone did not have Hungarian as one of their languages that could be taught through Rosetta Stone. Every other language, it seems, but that. So I don't know if it's just difficult with enunciations. I remember listening to my dad talk to some of his friends and other family members, and the dialect is just very strong and punctuated, if that's the best way for me to describe the language. And I think that's maybe why it could be difficult for Rosetta Stone to make that transfer of, you know, this sentence means this, and you say it this way, and this is how you enunciate, and it's supposed to be based on recordings, right? So how you say it and how the system hears you, you may fail. It may take hours on end for you to get an accent or an enunciation of a certain word correct. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I haven't checked back with them for the longest, to see if they've changed or if they've basically with AI these days, you know, if they were able to improve upon their teaching. Of course, I also haven't seen a Rosetta Stone commercial in years. I remember it used to be a big thing on TV way back in the day, but now not so much. So I don't know. Anyway, Norbert, thank you for the birthday wishes. Thank you for the email, a hand on heart. It's It's awesome to hear from you. And hopefully one day I can get off my ass, take a vacation, and go to Europe and see the world and do stuff and meet up with you and have coffee and hang out and do all that other stuff. Who knows? Maybe I'll even let him shave my head. Show me how we do the ball. I'm still a little leery, and I want to close this because I've been on this for about almost an hour and a half, and it's getting late in the afternoon, and I've got other things to do today. I've been using this stuff called Active, and I'm not sure that it's working. I see myself every day, so I don't notice a change in my hair, whether it's actually things are growing back, the existing hair is just getting stronger, looking fuller. I don't know. My stylist, I'll call her my stylist. She is insistent that it works. She's got other clients that come in that started, and 3 to 6 months later, she's noticed the change. And the only reason why I say I don't know if it's working is because I had been using it for almost 2 months. And I went in and she asked me if I was using it. So I'm like, well, if you're asking me, that probably means you're not seeing any changes, you know. And then, of course, you know, individual results may vary, so it might take longer. But I've said it, and I've joked about it, joked around about it, that at some point I'm probably going to have to shave my head. I'm probably going to have to do it. And I really don't want to, but at the same time, like I've said before, I just don't want to be one of those guys that's trying to hold on to their youth. You know, you get old and it just is what it is, and you just got to deal with it. And some people are graced with full heads of hair until the day they die. And yes, am I envious? Absolutely. But at the same time, I'm also embracing my old age as best as possible, getting through it as best I can. And there's that. What else is going on before I close out? I tried to get on my motorbike, a couple weekends ago, and my motorbike won't turn over. And I called a couple of local motorcycle shops, to see if I could bring it in to get fixed. And of course I've waited too late already. Cause I mean, we're almost at the end of June, or we're in the middle of June. And these guys are booked until the end of July. So I'm like, what the fuck do I do? I could fix it myself, but right now, not quite sure what's going on. My bike is a 2013 Triumph Tiger 1200 rally bike, and it's been a great bike. I've had no problems starting it up until recently, and I've checked the battery. I've checked my fuses. I've double-checked safety switches. Everything seems to be okay. Yes, I checked the fuel. But it just refuses to catch and turn over. So I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure if there's something clogged in a line, you know, that something happened over the winter. Of course, I occasionally started it in the winter, so there weren't any issues then. It's only been recently. And so, or the stepper motor, not sure. But to get to that, I have to completely take the tank off. And I'm not willing to go that far to try to narrow something down. And realistically, I probably should take it in and have her serviced, but I'm almost at the point where I might trade her in and get a different bike or a newer bike. I haven't quite decided. I'm beating myself up over it, because I really want to ride, and it's just something to do on a Sunday. And I haven't done that in such a long time. And now that I seem to be better with everything going on with my heart, I think I could trust myself to ride a motorbike and be okay. So yeah, I don't know. That may be happening. I don't know. I will keep you posted. But anyway, let me get one more sip of coffee. Coffee, damn it. And yeah, I think we'll go ahead and we'll end the podcast right here. So what do I say? Okay, here we go. No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. The pre-intro quote is by the No Syntax podcast. Yeah, I came up with it all by my little self. Music intro is provided by Rim Sky Music and can be found at www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music is provided by Melody Loops. That's www.melodyloops.com. And again, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email about today's or other shows, or just to say hello. You can do this by emailing us at nosyntaxpodcast, that's all one word, nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a message for us on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast.net. You can follow us on Twitter X at nosyntaxpodcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax, or on Instagram at the No Syntax Podcast. For your listening pleasure, you can find us on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast.net, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Audible, or Amazon Music. And there is that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's rant, today's show. Yeah, got a little long in the tooth, but that's okay. It's fine. I just ran out of more nothing to say. So let's end it here. I'm sorry. I am so damn tired. Y'all have a good one. Happy Juneteenth, everyone. Enjoy today. And we will see you next week. Bye.